The Connecticut Supreme Court recently heard arguments in a case concerning who should get possession of frozen human embryos after a divorce. As Connecticut Public Radio's Nicole Leonard reports, these types of cases are becoming more frequent around the country.
Advancements in medical technology have given people more fertility options. They can cryogenically freeze sperm, eggs, or human embryos to create or expand their families. But when relationships end and possession disputes happen, is the law keeping up? Catherine Kraschel specializes in reproductive health law at Yale.
A frozen embryo is a novel thing to be part of the components of a marriage and things that people have acquired or built together. And so courts have had to grapple with how to best handle that.
Some of the highest courts in the country are hearing arguments on how to classify a frozen embryo. They're also trying to figure out who should get one in a divorce. Recently, Supreme Court justices in Connecticut heard from attorneys each representing Timothy Goodwin and Jennifer Bilbao. They're divorced and in dispute over an embryo created while they were married.
If there's a disagreement, why can't the human embryo be given to the parent that wants to preserve its life? And the decisions go forward from there.
That's Joseph Sekola arguing before justices in a hearing last month. He's the attorney representing the husband, Goodwin, who wants to preserve the embryo for adoption. Goodwin did sign a contract with his then-wife years ago. It instructed that any remaining embryos be destroyed, but now he's changed his mind. Meanwhile, his ex-wife, Jennifer Bilbao, wants to stick to their original agreement. Here's her attorney, Scott Garrison, on why contracts should be upheld.
That would nip the vast majority of these future disputes in the bud so that we're not back here.
These contracts are used a lot at fertility treatment centers. They help couples decide on what would happen in future situations, just like this one. Kraschel, the Yale expert, says they also help protect fertility centers, but they don't always work as intended.
When patients are signing a form with their medical provider, most of the time they're not necessarily contemplating these very profound issues of family formation and identity when we're thinking about people who object to their genetic material being used to create a human, perhaps without their consent.
The validity of these contracts in embryo possession cases have varied. In New York and California, courts have chosen to enforce contract agreements. In Iowa and Massachusetts, couples ultimately have to come to a mutual agreement while an embryo remains frozen. And in Tennessee and Pennsylvania, courts have decided to use a balancing test, which weighs the interests of both parents. But Kraschel says there's another profound question at the heart of these cases.
Is the embryo property, or is it more like a child in which we think about a custody arrangement?
Defining where embryos fall on the scale of personhood, if they do at all, has been difficult, even for bioethicists like Dr. Louise King.
There is no way to say for sure when life truly begins. And we're not going to probably have a definitive way of stating that at any time soon.
King is the director of reproductive bioethics at Harvard Medical School's Center for Bioethics. She's also a practicing surgeon, and she used to be a lawyer, so she knows a thing or two about the intersection of medicine and law. She says scientists have used bioethics to determine when to draw the line in experimentation, especially involving embryonic stem cells, but even that's a gray area. So for frozen embryos, or really pre-embryos, given that they only grow for 4 to 5 days until frozen, King says it's actually more of a philosophical debate.
If you believe that that life begins at conception, then you will see an embryo of any stage as being a fully human being. But then, of course, if that's true, then you've afforded moral status to an entity that doesn't have any other criteria except for being genetically related to other human beings.
Some experts say these kinds of cases are attempts to chip away at, if not reverse, the Roe v. Wade decision, which protects abortion rights. Efforts to get a frozen embryo possession case before the U.S. Supreme Court have so far failed. The court declined to hear a Colorado embryo case in April, but fetal heartbeat and fetal personhood laws in other states challenged the landmark decision as well. And King says, even though science and bioethics don't support giving frozen embryos a status deserving of full human rights.
This is clearly an entity that deserves our consideration and protection above, for example, a skin cell, right? It's not just a cell, but it's not also an infant, and it's not also potentially even a fetus right before it's born. It's something different.
But until there's more of a consensus on how to treat frozen embryos, states will have to navigate the complexity of these cases on their own. Nicole Leonard, Connecticut Public Radio.